Check out Slug Magazine's merch store through Big Cartel for crewnecks and snapbacks designed by Trent Call, zip-up hoodies designed by Slug's lead designer, Joshua Joy, and Death by Salt albums featuring rad local music.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. I am Gabby Manning. I'm a musician from Salt Lake City, and my project's name is Gabby. So I'm a musician, but my first creative outlet was actually skateboarding. And what drew me to that was just like the mystery of how you get the board to stick to your feet. You know, you'd see people riding on the street and it was just so effortless and so just smooth on how they kind of just glided across the street. And it was mesmerizing, and I didn't understand it and I wanted to understand it. So I started skating when I was about probably 10 or 11, I think. Once you start skating and you really get into it and you really love it, you will always look at the world different. It's like everything becomes a spot, everything you want to skate. And that was something I really, really loved and still just admire so much about not only the creatives that are skating, but just the aspect of how much art actually goes into it. There is something so special and so beautiful about if you messed up a trick, it was no one else's fault but yours. You had to put in all the time individually, and it was up to you on whether or not you learned it or you landed it, and that's awesome. And it's the same way in music. It's 100% on you to create what you want to create, and some people hate that, but I love it. I adore it and feed off of that. So I got hurt skating. It was kind of two injuries back to back that screwed me over. But it was two ankle sprains, and sprained it once, like kind of bad. I was only out for a few months, and then rehab through skating was going really good. And like the night I was back to like my full potential, I sprained it again really bad. And then I was out for months and months, and it kind of lost full rotation on my ankle. And lately, it's been feeling a lot better, but it's been years and it still just sucks. But it doesn't hurt anymore. It's just frustrating that you don't have that full extension and, you know, things you used to be able to do and you know how to do, you just can't do anymore. And it sucks. Well, the ending of the chapter, I would say, is the ending of me trying to be the best. I wanted to shoot for the stars. I had the ability, I had the connections, and I had a lot of people behind me that were willing to be like, let's get you there. Let's get you to the X Games. Let's get you winning. And when I got hurt and couldn't perform the same way I was, it was heartbreaking. You know, skateboarding is so emotional for me. And I think for a lot of skaters, because it is so individualistic, that trying to like get back to where I was and me stopping myself was too much for me emotionally. And so I was kind of like, I can't do this right now. You know, before I got hurt, I didn't even really think about getting hurt where it would prevent me from doing other tricks, but I miss that a lot. I still skate all the time, and I'm skating more now than I have in the last probably 2 years or 3 years, and it feels great, and it helps me get away from music. Sometimes I spend too much time in music, and I want another outlet, and I can go to skating and not take it seriously or not try to overly push myself, and I can just enjoy the beauty of that art form. So I started making music and like playing, kind of dabbling around. My older sister had this guitar and she was like, no one touch it, you know, it's mine. And then she didn't touch it for like 3 years. And so I was like, well, I'm going to start playing around with it. And I started really putting time into trying to learn how to play the guitar, kind of after I got hurt and couldn't really go do anything. And so that like started my love for it. And it was like really helpful because it was another, you know, you on you learning to play something. And that was so awesome to have that type of outlet and that type of hobby that I could like feed into, but it wasn't skating, it was something else. And so that was super therapeutic to just be like, you know, there's other things out here besides skating that'll make me happy and that'll satisfy me. And I didn't really start making like music and singing and putting time into it till probably towards the end of my injury. I just kind of started having a hard time with school and friends and this really bad breakup. And I just kind of sat down and was going to start just reading poetry over my music. And somehow, like, I couldn't read over it. I was like, every time I'd like sing, but I was like, I'm not a singer, you know, like, what's going on? And so, but I just kind of ended up sticking with it. And still, I'm just kind of like, okay, like, this feels right, but I don't really know the logistics of that. But I really like writing poetry, and so that kind of ended up how I started making music, and that was the therapeutic aspect of I can say my feelings and I can play this instrument, and it was a really good harmony of two things I needed at the time in my life. I started playing guitar, really liked it, but I wanted something more to my music. So then I started kind of just playing a little bit of keys on it and then adding a little bit of synth and then putting bass lines in, which bass is guitar, just four strings. So that's not that hard, but getting creative with it is hard and a challenging form that I've like started to appreciate, especially with this last album where I'm like, oh, I can do more with this now, and that's really exciting. So I started playing shows back home in Phoenix, just like here and there. I would, because I had a lot of music, but I was kind of shy about it. I didn't really tell people I made music or share it with anyone, except a few friends and my family would hear me all the time playing. But I became friends with this guy named Tyler Broderick, and he's been in a bunch of different bands, like EG, Megabog, like kind of played around, but his main project is called Diners. And just randomly became friends with him at a show, and we really hit it off. And he booked me like the first like real show. All the shows leading up to them was just like me and like my bassist friend, who I would just like teach how to play the songs. And then we'd just go to like a show where it'd be like either like kind of like acoustic acts or something like that. But Tyler booked me at the show in Phoenix at this venue called Funny World, which is like this house that this old dude just like bought and turned into this artist's place. He like never lived there. It was like painted all these crazy colors, and there was all these instruments in there and supplies, and artists could live there if they wanted as long as they were pursuing their art. It's this really beautiful space, and so it's kind of special when you get to play a show there. So I feel really lucky that my first show was there. So I played with, it was me, then this touring band who's awesome called Ian Sweet, really great, and then Diners. And that was like my first like real show. And yeah, big thanks to Tyler for letting that happen and introducing me into how fun like playing live music could be. My latest album, Sea Glass, is each song is pretty much written about specific moments that took place within like 3 to 5 days over spending time in Phoenix, like downtown Phoenix, with my like partner at the time. And I had written my album before about kind of like this frustration I felt about leaving Phoenix. That album's called Sensitive Baby. Sea Glass, I had started writing, and it was just going to be another 4 to 5 track EP. And I was kind of like, there's more I want to say. There's more I have to express and get out, and things I want to talk about, and things I need to say, and songs I want to write. So I just kept writing, and it turned into a full-length album. The series of events in the album are just little things that, you know, happen. And for me, most of the songs I write are like that. It's not like, oh, like, here's this crazy partying night where it was like all this crazy stuff happened. It's like, remember when you sat down on the couch next to me and you put your arm around my shoulder and it touched my ear and I felt loved, you know? And it's that moment where you're like, that resonates with me, and that's what, like, I go home and I'm like laying in my bed and I'm thinking about that moment. I'm not thinking about all the other fun stuff that happens. Like, that's what's staying with me, and that's usually what I write a song about. This album was shaped by itself, honestly. I had written all the songs by probably the end of January. Then I started writing in all the solos and all the bass lines and had everything done to the point where it was like the entire band knew how to play everything. I knew all the parts. And then in June, so like months later, I pretty much just locked myself in my apartment for like 3 days and just busted out all the songs. And that was pretty much the shaping of it. It was, these are the key things that I want in this album, plus some bonus tracks that fit, that I'm just like, I want this to be in there too. And it kind of just came together as I was recording it. It was like, this is what's right, and this is how this album should turn out. And like adding samples, I try to use samples in like every album I do, because that's really meaningful to me. And that was kind of helped me shape it as what I wanted this album to look like, not only from my perspective, but from anyone that could use that connections perspective. So how I got involved with the label I'm working with right now is called Chill Mega Chill. And craziness, I had just started a band Twitter, and he, like the West Coast manager dude named Ian, he stumbled across my Twitter page and like was like, oh, I'll just listen to her music, and loved it. And his sister lives here in Salt Lake and had heard some of my stuff and was like, oh yeah, I already like her too. And he was looking for fit, like strong female leads that he wanted on the album. So he just reached out and was like, hey, are you working on anything right now? And I had some demos done and I sent him, and he was like, let us release it. So it was kind of random, but such a stoke. It was just like the best bonus in the world to be like, oh, my first album, like, you want to release it? Like, it was so like validating for me. But and such a great record. That label's so awesome. Everyone's so nice. But so I worked with them on that and then released the tapes, and I have like a handful of tapes left, and I think most of the fans really like it. I so bad want skaters to listen to my music, you know. It's not really like skating music, but the other day I was at a park and some dude skated up to me and was like, hey, you're Gabby, right? And he's like, I was listening to your music on Spotify. And I was just like, yes, finally, you know? But honestly, all the fans we have here in Salt Lake and all the fans we made on tour, everyone's just so nice. I'm just like so thankful to have everyone that like believes in what I'm doing and can like relate and pull something from the music I make. And like, that's why I'm doing it. And it's awesome to like meet people and be like, these are good people that I'm reaching and like able to connect with through my art form of choice. So this upcoming New Year's show at Kilby Court, Elaine Sayer is hosting and has booked all the bands and put it together. Is awesome because all the bands are awesome. All the people involved are just great people. Elaine and Chloe have their own thing called Good Fats, and that's just awesome. They do SLC Pink. It's just like, I will forever get behind Elaine Sayer and Chloe Monson. Like, I believe in their work. They are awesome. The other bands that are playing are like homies that I met like as soon as I moved up here. The other bands that are playing are Lady Teeth, Spooky Snack, and just a little background, Spooky Snack. There's this other band that's been in Utah for a long time called Boncho, and it's three members that are all currently in Boncho, and then the bassist is his side project's Mannequin. So three extremely talented artists. That's Spooky Snack, and then this other band called Rich Girls, who I've never heard of, but I listened to the music and it was really sick. They're from Salt Lake, and then us. So you can follow us on Instagram, Gabby N Friends, or you can follow us on Twitter, also Gabby N Friends, or you can like us on Facebook, and our @ is, you've guessed it, Gabby N Friends. So we're posting on there about our shows all the time, consistently. You can listen to my music on Bandcamp, Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon. So this next track that you're going to hear is called Parking Lot Love, and it's about going on a really sweet date to get ice cream, and at the end of the night, you end up in a parking lot, and it's just you and your date, and you just kiss and go home, and that's what it's about, and then driving home and just thinking about how nice it was and things you wish you had said or done, and that's pretty much the narrative behind the song.